Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Matthew wrote about the day when Jesus called him to become a disciple. He was a tax collector and hated by Jewish society, but the God-man came to call sinners to repentance. The disciples of John the Baptist wanted to know why Jesus' disciples did not fast like them. The Son of God replied that it was not necessary while he was present. Jesus was mobbed by a throng of people, and a sick woman was healed when she touched the hem of his garment. Jairus asked Jesus to heal his daughter, and while she died before the God-man arrived, it was the end of the beginning. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And today we're going to talk about the calling of Matthew, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, and the little young girl that was raised from the dead. Let's pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for helping me to bring forth this message. And Father God, it will do a change in our lives. Change our lives. Help us, Father God, to embrace the Holy Spirit. To expect miracles, to expect things to happen. And I thank you right now, Lord, for speaking to all of us with a great anointing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, the first thing we're going to look upon is the calling of Matthew. His name was also Levi. And he was a tax collector. And the title for them was publicans. And as much as Americans love the IRS and IRS agents, the Jews hated their tax collectors. And so, I give you the name here. Matthew is English. It came from Matthias in Latin, which is derived from Matthias in Greek, and come from Matthayahu in Hebrew. And the name means gift of Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God in Hebrew. It means, Yahweh means the existing one. And this means that anyone bearing this name can claim to be a gift of God. Now, if you are a drunkard and you are a bad person, you should change your name from Matthew to Judas and put the last name on it, Iscariot. Now, Matthew lived in Capernaum. You got a little map there in the corner of your outline. Can see Capernaum. It was an important city at the time of Jesus. It served as a Roman garrison, they had that, as a magistrate city with custom office. And in order to fund the large standing armies, the Romans simply had road taxes, and the people did not know how much the taxes were. So a tax collector was told by the Romans, we want X number of shekels, or silver coins, whatever they had. And he said, okay. So they said, whatever you want to charge the people, you can do that. We want our cut. But if you want to have some for yourself, you just increase the tax. And they did. So they were very rich, and people knew that they were getting ripped off. Can you imagine that? For example, Thomas drives in from Yuba City to here on Sundays. Can you imagine this? You're driving in, you're stopped, and you have to pay a tax. And then you come here, and then you go back home, they stop you again. They said, well, you got to pay a road tax. So that's how that was. It was a racket. And so the agent in charge, he would simply have people come up. They were walking, or if they had a cart, whatever. He would go over and look at it. It reminds me when I go to the dump. I go to the dump maybe every second month with stuff. And I drive up to the little booth. A guy comes out. I open the back of the truck. He takes a look at it. He says, okay, that's $25. No, that's $35. And whatever he says, it is. So I'm at his mercy. So imagine now that you have this tax collector, Levi. He was not well liked in town. And Jesus now is selecting apostles. And he goes and he sees this tax collector. And he says, hey, Levi, I want you to come and follow me. I'm sure that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would simply say, he's out of his skull. Doesn't he know that that guy's a sinner? He's a crook. He's a thief. He's stealing from our people. But you see, Jesus does not look upon what you are. He's looking at what you will be. Let me run through that computer one more time. When Jesus selects people, he doesn't look what you are now. He looks what you will be in the future. He looks at your potentials. And Levi, he changed his name to Matthew, became a powerful apostle. Because the Holy Spirit would change a person when you are born again. So let's read from Matthew 9 here and on. So I want you to really see this. Here's Levi now, nicely dressed. He's sitting at the custom. He had probably all the servants around him and probably some military guards. And he had a good job. Here comes Jesus and says, hey, Levi, follow me. Immediately, Levi did not say, I have to pray about that. He didn't say, I have to think about that. He didn't say, Jesus, what are you offering me? What kind of position are you offering me? Jesus just simply said, follow me, period. The Holy Spirit hit Levi. It was the Holy Spirit that immediately had him to move. And he got up. Let's read the story now. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus set up meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Matthew simply said, I follow you, Jesus. Can I be your host tonight? Give your folks dinner? Mark says this. And he went forth again by the seaside, and the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that Jesus set the meat in his house. Many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. Luke said, and after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said to him, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. Have you had a call from Jesus? Have you ever been told to follow him? Now, the Pharisees were not too happy. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, why eat your master with publicans and sinners? Mark writes, and when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with publicans and sinners? But their scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Now, should we hang out with sinners? It depends how it's done. You don't want to go to a party where they're going to be drinking and smoking, dropping drugs and whatever they're doing, and they have no intention of hearing the gospel from you. In this case, now with Jesus, these publicans, tax collectors, and other sinners, they were drawn to Jesus. Notice now, Jesus dominated the dinner. He had a conversation there. He was teaching them. Jesus ate with them, but they did not dominate him. He dominated the situation. Now, Jesus openly rebuked them, their attitude, and said to them that the sick need a doctor. So in Matthew 9, we read this. But when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what it means, I will have mercy, not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So we got to look upon the Democrats and simply say, well, we don't like their policies, but they are sinners. Jesus died for every one of them. He died for Joe Biden, Kamala Harris. He died for Schumer and all the others. Salvation is available for them, but they have to ask for it. So we should pray. Possibly God, to save them, do that. Mark says this, when Jesus heard, he said to them, they that are whole have no need of physicians, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Luke said, and Jesus answered to them, they that are whole need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So what you and I should do to follow the example of Jesus is simply this. Be open to people that are not saved. And if you have a chance, if you're invited, and you have a chance to dominate the situation, take it. And simply talk about Jesus and talk what can be done. Sometimes, if you're in an elevator, and you might have 2 minutes, to say something, you got a captive audience. And normally when you get in an elevator, everybody stands there, like this, you know, not talking. But I like to, if I can, to simply say, well, good morning, everyone. Do you have a good morning today? I woke up with Jesus this morning, and I had a nice little talk with Jesus. Do you know Jesus? And then, you know, you're done. Elevator stops. Everybody piles out. They say, that's a nuthead, they tell you, tell about you. But you know what? You put something in their mind. They're going to think, you know, well, I never met a guy like that before in the elevator. You know, it's supposed to be shut up. Put seeds out. Let's talk about fasting now. I'm page 3 on the outline. Jesus was always criticized, regardless of the miracles and healings. I want you to see that about Jesus right now. Imagine him now. He's a creator. He's God. He comes down to this earth. He has left a world of technology in the spirit world, is beyond what we can even dream of. He come down to this earth, stone age. The people, you know, have very simple tools. No heating in the houses, no air conditioning. Nothing. Simple. And these people, that really were nothing. Stone Age people, they see the Son of God, the Creator, Jesus, and they start criticizing him. If you are meeting some people and they question your ability, and they simply look down upon you and say, well, who do you think you are? You're just a bumbling idiot. How do you and I react to that? Well, we're going to tell them who we are. I'm an engineer. I'm a medical doctor. I'm a successful contractor. I'm a successful teacher, professor. How do you dare to talk to me like this? Here's what I want you to say. The Bible never records one time that these people got on the skin of Jesus. He simply ignored them. He realized these guys are talking. They don't know what they're talking about. They're just bumbling idiots. They need to be saved. They need to be loved. When you have people come up and question you, and say, you know, just cannot put you down. Just look at them. And then simply tell them this. God bless you, brother. Have a good day. Don't get down on the sandbox with them. You know who you are. You don't have to prove anything to anyone. If you are secure in Christ, walk tall. That's what Jesus did. Now, in Matthew 9:14, and you have this on page 3. Then came to him the disciple of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples fast not? Mark said, and the disciples of John and the Pharisees used to fast. And they came and said to him, why do your disciples of John and Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And they said unto him, said Luke, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? Man, that was bad news. Now, Jesus patiently clarified that the time would come. It was not necessary what the God-man was present with him. I'm going to read here what he said, Matthew said. And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and they shall fast. No man puts a piece of new cloth onto an old garment, for that which is put in it will fill up, takes the garment, and the rent, it will make the rent even worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runs out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So Jesus simply said this, they have the bridegroom. Let's read what Luke says. And he said unto them, can you make the children of the bride chamber fast, when the bridegroom is with them? But the days would come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake a parable unto them, no man puts a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new makes a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. So, Jesus, this is the point I want to make. Jesus was not that concerned about the fasting. He simply said, yeah, they never fast. There's going to come a time when I'm not going to be with them. They're going to fast. But I want you to see how Jesus reacted to the people. He could have simply said, how dare you question my disciples? Don't you know who I am? I'm very important. I'm the Son of God. I'm the Creator. I made you. Before the foundation of the world, I sat in front of that supercomputer and I designed every one of you. So what do you dare to come up and question me? He didn't do that. He simply told them, they will fast eventually, not now. You and I should learn that. We should simply learn this. Never get riled up. If somebody questions you, intimidates you, simply put it on Jesus and simply tell the people, what? Whatever is meaningful to you, and then say, have a good day. That bites more than if you stand up and rant and rave. Let's talk about race of the dead now. I like that subject. Reading the accounts of Jesus in the four Gospels provides insight as how stressful it was for Jesus. Every day the Jews were trying to seek to kill him, the leadership. They were always plotting to kill him. And by the way, Jesus did not have a gun. There were no guns at that time. Jesus did not even have a sword. But Jesus had holy angels that protected him. And it says several times, when they quartered him, they're going to throw him over a cliff. He just turned around and walked right through them, and they couldn't touch him. He was at the temple. They tried to catch him. He just walked right out. He had angels, so do you and I. Constantly, can you imagine this now? Imagine this, every day your phone rings. I have a need. Can you pray for me? Yeah, I pray for you. So you pray for that guy. A few minutes later, another phone call. You know, my aunt just fell over and broke her leg. Can you pray for my aunt? And you're in the middle of something you're doing on your job. And the inclination is to say, you know, who cares? You know, go pray yourself. So you pray for that. And you pray for this. Jesus constantly, people around him, pressing on him, talking to him. I need this. I need that. Please heal me. There were times he was so tired, he said, we talked about this a few weeks ago. He lay down in a boat and slept. He just exhausted. He had a physical body. And his body did get tired at times. But Jesus, he simply had compassion. You know the word compassion? Compassion is when you do something that is not convenient for you. When you're about ready to go to bed and the phone rings and somebody says, can you come over and pray with me tonight? And you are ready to go to bed and you're tired. What would you answer them? I'm undressed. I'm in bed. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Jesus never turned down one person. Not one person did he turn down. So, look at the outline here now. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue in Capernaum. He was a leader among the Jews. But he had a need. He approached Jesus. But before he put in a request, he worshipped Jesus and gave him honor as the Messiah. His only daughter had died, and he wanted Jesus to resurrect her. When we pray, if you have an emergency prayer, if you hit your head, you know, you start praying immediately. But if you have time to pray, start by worshiping. What is worship? Just simply say, thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Jesus, that I'm alive, I'm saved, I love you. I just want to thank you and praise you and worship you. You are my God. Take time to worship him. Not just come up and say, hey, Jesus, I want this. Yes, Jesus, I want this. And Jesus says, you know, you want to greet me first? In Matthew 9:18, we read this. While he spake these things unto them, that's when he was talking about fasting, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus must have been tired. But he and his disciples left the place they were and started walking with Jairus to his house. I want you to see this now. So Jesus said, Jairus coming up. He's a leader of the synagogue. It's not necessarily nice to be a synagogue leader to a Jesus. So he simply said, okay. Matthew 9:19. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Now, when Jesus now is walking down, we have a woman that had an issue of blood. She had something wrong with her female organs, and she had been bleeding for many years. She's gone to all kinds of doctors, and she couldn't get cured. So, picture this picture now. Jesus had just told off the Pharisees and the leadership, my disciples are going to fast when the time comes. Here comes Jairus. My daughter is dead. Can you come and raise her up? Jesus said, okay. And now Jesus is walking, and here comes this woman. And she raised him with herself. If I just can get in and touch the garment of the garment he has. He could just touch it. I will be healed. She must have seen a lot of miracles Jesus has done before. Now, she's not focused on a dead girl. She's not focused on the fasting. She's focused on one thing. I need to be healed. Let's read now Matthew 9:20. And behold, a woman which was deceased with issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Mark says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. Luke wrote, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the board of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. Now, faith. She did not talk to Jesus, but she believed that he had power. Can you imagine this now? A woman gone for 12 years, bleeding every day, going to this doctor, that doctor, get this, this, or that, and so on. And then she hears the miracles, and she realizes Jesus could heal the blind, cure the lepers. He can take care of me. But now, women were second-class citizens at that time. A woman could not get up and talk to a man. Remember the story of the woman at the well? Jesus struck up a conversation with her. And when the disciples came back, they said, why is he talking to this woman? Men in those days did not talk to women. Women were looked upon. They give birth to children, they cook the food, they clean the house, and they shut their mouth. That's how they looked at women. So that's why this woman came up and she said, I can just get into the crowd, mingle in, touch him. That's it. And she got healed. Now Jesus felt healing power leave his body. Of course, Jesus was aware of the people around him. And he turned around to his apostles and simply said, you know, who touched me? That's a nice song we sing from time to time. He touched me. Let's read what Mark says here. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. When you get a healing from God, an immediate healing, you know it. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned around him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and say you, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done the thing. She had broken etiquette. She had gone up and touched the clothes of a man. Luke said, and Jesus said, who touched me? But all denied. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged and pressed you, and do you say, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. When the woman realized that her action had not gone unnoticed, and that Jesus knew she had been healed. She made herself known and worshipped him. She got scared. Look at the next verse here from Mark. But the woman, fearing and trembling. Now, you have read that scripture many times, and you don't know the custom. If a woman went up and touched a man, he could have her stoned because she was unclean. She's a woman. And woman had no value in those days. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. You can just see her laying down and saying, Jesus, I touched you because I'm sick and I got healed. In verse 34, and Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. He said, don't mess with that woman. Let her go. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, in Luke, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she had been healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. If you didn't know the story of women and how downtrodden they were and how they were ostracized, you would read these verses. And you were reading, and she trembling came, you know, and fell down, and you would say, so, okay. It would go over your head. That woman had a lot of faith because she walked in a group of men that she was not supposed to do, and then walked up and touched. So let's go to the next subject now. The daughter of Jairus. And I have an outline here. On the outline, it's a doubt and unbelief. The daughter of Jairus died while Jesus was busy with a woman and a blood issue. You can imagine now, Jairus. I want you to see Jairus now. He's chomping at the bit. Let's go, Jesus. Let's go. My daughter is home. She's dead or whatever it is. And Jesus said, slow down, Jairus. I get to you. I'll get there. We just got to take care of this woman first. So, finally, Jesus stopped moving again. And so we already talked about this, but I'm going to read this verse here on page number 7. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? Luke says, while he yet spake, there comes one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, your daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. Now, Jesus more or less had told Jairus, it's okay. In verse 36 of Mark 36, we read this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Can you imagine now? You had the disciples there, you got other people. I mean, there was probably 400 or 500 people around him. And now they had witnessed, you know, how this lady got healed. They're going to move again. And then they came and said, she's dead. Daughter is dead. Don't go there. Don't waste your time. In Luke 8:50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Now Jesus was not shook. This is not a big deal to him. So now, on page 8, by the time Jesus arrived at the home of Jairus, the funeral reception already started. Now, most of you do not know Jewish customs. The custom was this. In every town, they had a group of people that were professional mourners. You would rent them. And so these were men and women that simply would go to a home where someone had died. And for an hour or 2 hours, they would weep and lament and cry, "Oh, wow, wow, wow," you know, for about 2 hours. And after that, they had a funeral. So now Jesus is coming to this house. You can hear all the noise. And here are these professional mourners. They're not sad. They just, you know, they're like actors. And they cried out. So let's read what happened. Matthew 9:23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, "Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeps." And they laughed him to scorn. First of all, they wouldn't get paid if they didn't finish their morning time. Here comes Jesus now and said, "She's not dead." But they laughed it to scorn. I want you to see their faces. Look at that Jesus. Open my grinning and saying, "Well, how dumb are you, Jesus? He's dead. Get out of here. Let us finish our business." Mark says, "And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seized the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly." They were professionals. "And when he was come in, he said to them, 'Why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeps.' And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them out, he takes the father and the mother of the damsel, and then they were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying." And then we read this in the next verse. "And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, 'Weep not, she is not dead, but she sleeps.'" Now I got to find my last sheet here. I really got screwed up today. There we go, praise God. Let's go to page number 9. "When the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all the land." Mark says, "And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kumi,' which is being interpreted, 'Damsel, I said to you, arise.' And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded something to be given her to eat." Luke says, "And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Maid, arise.' And the spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat or food. And the parents were astonished, but he charged they should tell no man what was done." So we had 3 miracles here in one sermon. The calling of Matthew, that's a miracle. We have Then we had the other miracle, and then we had this last one. We had the issue of the blood. So, some over here, this is what I wrote here. There are three different events in this sermon. The calling of Matthew, the healing of the woman, the resurrection of the 12-year-old girl. And now I want to ask you this. Do you believe this to be true? I want you really to stop right now and think. Do I believe that Matthew or Levi just quit his job and followed Jesus with no questions asked? Do I believe that this woman had an issue of blood, it is stopped instantly? Do I believe that this 12-year-old girl that was dead rose up from the dead and got some food? Do I really believe that? I want you to ask yourself that. It's one thing to read it, but do you believe it? If you believe it, if you say yes, I believe these three things happen, then I want to give you the scripture from Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. What does that mean? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. That's hard for you and me to realize, because with time, we are changing. I met Soteris 30 years ago. He didn't look like he does today, and I didn't look like I look now. I met Thomas about 21 years ago, and he didn't look like he does today, and I didn't look like I did. We have changed. Now, Soteris is still praying. Thomas is still an elder. He's still working for Christ. He has his own job, but he's still out there doing work for the Lord. He hasn't changed. But the day would come, give it another 20 years, 25 years, and you'll be looking for Soteris, you'll be looking for Thomas, you'll be looking for me. And they would simply say, well, they took their flight. So you cannot think, you know, you cannot go to us anymore. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus does not age. His spiritual body does not age. He has a resurrected body. He's the same. And really what he says here, it is, what he did yesterday with these three people, he will do today. But notice now that when he was talking to them, he said this, as you believe, since you have the faith, according to your faith. So the question now is this. Are you going to be what I call a paper Christian? You believe everything in the Bible. You uphold it. But you have no fruit in your life. You know, there are people that are professional students. They will stay in college for years. They get one degree, then they get another degree, and another degree. And they never produce anything. They have a lot of knowledge, scholars, but there's no fruit. You don't want to be a paper Christian. You want to be able to say, well, I prayed for this person over here, and I did this over here, and we have this happening and so on. You want to have testimonies. How do you get testimonies? By being active in the kingdom of God. Let's close with this last scripture we have on page number 10, from John 14, 12 through 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater work than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. You could do greater works. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, that's what Jesus said. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Do you believe those verses? If you do, are you acting upon it? Now, Sister Carol came out here about 5 years ago. She's a good Southern Baptist woman. And she has her world turned upside down. So you can ask her today, have you seen any miracles? Yeah, she's been working with Pastor Alexi, did a lot of deliverance with him. She worked with me. And she has seen miracles. And she's prayed with people. She talks on the phone. She prays on the phone and so on. And she has turned from being a paper Christian to a Christian that actually is doing it. Let me use Thomas Burns here as an example. He is a very well-known plastering contractor in this area. His work is highly rated, and the people are looking after, they want him. He might not be the lowest price, but they want him because they want the quality work. Now, if Thomas would sit in his office and say, okay, we're going to do this and that today, so hopefully it'll be done. And he sits in his office all day long, and then at 5 o'clock, he says, okay, time to go home. And some will say, how much money did you put on the wall today? None. Why not? Well, I'm not sure why not. You know, I just didn't even get around to it. But maybe tomorrow I will. So he goes in tomorrow, sits in the office all day long. Nothing is happening on the wall. Now, he will be what you call a paper Christian. Now, what he got to do is this. He has learned the trade really well. I mean, years of it. But he has to go, he has to apply the mud on the wall. Or he has to have his crew do it. I see him on the wall many times. Most of the time his crew is up and they put the mud on the wall. It is one thing to say, well, we are a plastering company and we talk about it. Or we are a plastering company and we do put the mud on the wall. Get the picture? Most Christians sit around and says, well, yeah, Jesus did that. We can do this. We can do that and so on. And, you know, and the day ends and they've done nothing year in and year out. That's a paper Christian. Yeah, you're saved. You're going to heaven. Yeah, you might do a few other things. But this is what we need. If we really want to change things in America, want a revival, we have to become active. It starts first. We believe, we repent of our sins, and then we start looking around. I want to put some mud on the wall. Where can I find a wall that I can work on? And there's a lot of people that need to be worked on. So that's what I want you to take home today. So this afternoon, when you're sitting around, and hopefully, you know, you take some time to pray today, but ask yourself this question. Am I a paper Christian now? Or am I a working Christian? Two different things. If you're a paper Christian, no one is going to be blessed by your faith. But if you are a working Christian, people are going to be blessed by your faith. So you watch me today. You're not saved. And you're simply saying this. How do I get in? I want to be saved. Here's how you get in. Confess that you're a sinner. Confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and through his death and resurrection you can be saved. Ask God to forgive your sins, and then say, Jesus, come into my life. Come in and save me. And he will. More good news for you. When we finish here, after the last prayer, the screen will change where you're watching. Three crosses will come up. And you will hear the voice of Pastor Charles. And he will say, my friend. And then he will take you through the salvation. And when he's done with you, you can pray with him and you will know that you are saved. And when you do that, will you contact us? Go to our website, eaec.org, and simply say, I got to tell you this. I got saved today. I prayed with Pastor Charles. We would love to hear from you. And we will simply rejoice, call you back, write you back, and help you out with what we can. And to those of you that are saved and are Christians, some of you are working Christians. Some of you are paper Christians. Would you change vocation today and simply say, I don't want to sit in the office and nothing happens. I want to put some mud on the wall. Meditate on it, pray over it, and then take some action. Here's Thomas.
Father God, we thank you for the word, and we thank you that in all these situations that we discussed today, there was action. People were taking action, and I'm reminded of what my my friend Chris said the other day: a parked car cannot be steered. So you have to get in motion. I thank you, Father God, for motivation and movement in the lives of Christians, and that we will be constantly active in your kingdom. I thank you for this being such a great opportunity. So thank you for the opportunity to walk in the light, to be engaged in the world, and not to be silent. So we ask your blessing upon every person that came and tuned in, and we thank you for blessing them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You have been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell.
This message was the 26th part in the series, The Gospel of Matthew, and was entitled, Raising the Dead. Matthew wrote about the day when Jesus called him to become a disciple. He was a tax collector and despised by Jewish society, but the God-man came to call sinners to repentance. The disciples of John the Baptist wanted to know why Jesus' disciples did not fast like them. The Son of God replied that it was not necessary while he was present. Jesus was a superstar, and as he was going to heal Jairus' daughter, he was mobbed by a throng of people. A sick woman reached out to touch the hem of his garment, and the Son of God felt healing power leave his body. The daughter of Jairus was dead by the time they arrived. The God-man quietly announced that she was just sleeping, and the mourners laughed with derision. Jesus was not unnerved because he knew what was going to take place. He gently took her cold hand, instructed the girl to rise, and the resurrection was instantaneous as healing power surged throughout her body. These stories illustrate the character of Jesus, and the good news is that he is still the same today. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1921. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.